On this week's episode of the Ritual Misery podcast, Alamogordo, still not a great place.
Right. You must pay taxes there and have contracts.
Yeah, but for a very low price, you can watch The Dark Crystal on Netflix.
Yes, you can. And for a slightly higher price, you can watch It Chapter 2.
But the only thing that's important this week is we have Remedy Alpine.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's us, right?
In the house.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 227 for Thursday, the 12th of September, 2019. This is a show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek. I'm Amos, that's Kent, and these guys are Remedy Alpine. Let's give yourself an introduction.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Luke Bouchatz. I'm the operations officer for Remedy Alpine, which means that I think up crazy things to do, and then these guys talk me off a cliff, literally.
And I'm Dave Joslin. I'm, I guess, the chief executive guy for Remedy Alpine, which means I write a lot of policies and then try to follow him up a mountain.
And I'm Eric Collier, and I'm the numbers guy. Don't ask me to do any of your math or calculations, but...
or troubleshoot your computer when it shuts down, because he's basically just like, fuck, I don't know.
And I always follow these two up the mountain.
And no. His thing was, let me build you a new computer. Like, dude, yeah. I can do it myself. No, but let me build it for you.
Or buy a Mac.
No.
That's the intent.
Yep.
Hey, dude, so this week I've been in taxes and contracts hell. I wouldn't call it hell. I've been actually writing contracts for clients, which is a whole new aspect of the self-employed life for me.
Yeah, so I imagine this has everything to do with what you announced last week with your new LLC.
Yes, it does, actually.
Amazing. And congratulations, by the way. I wasn't on the show last week to say it to you in person, but yeah, that's awesome, man.
It feels pretty good. Audio Aperture Media, LLC. It rolls off the tongue. It doesn't, but it's what I came up with, so fuck it. Now, for the three of you, have you done an LLC or done the business license and taxes and all that shit?
Yeah, we formed as an LLC November of 2017.
Yep.
Yeah? How'd that process go?
Forming the company and getting it legitimate wasn't that hard. I've built another mountain company once before, and so I was familiar with the process, but... going through the nonprofit route and the IRS Form 1023 and the 57,000 fucking pages that are the IRS Form 1023, the adopting nonprofit bylaws and being a legitimate nonprofit, that was a very long learning process, lots of hours, lots of thumb cramps, texting back and forth, trying to align on things, and then reviewing bylaws, reviewing new articles of incorporation. We had to adopt different articles of incorporation as a nonprofit that had to have specific things, checking things against federal code and then Alaska state code. It was a long process.
Did we get a guest on here that actually knows what they're talking about? Like, this is not...
Yeah, we fucked up. It's okay. It's okay. Kent, apparently you have decided once again that Alamogordo is not great. Because that's what it says in the show notes. Like, it literally says Alamogordo is not great.
Who's been to Alamogordo? Holloman Air Force Base.
I have.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I might be the only visitor that year, though.
No.
Maybe. Been there. Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you where it is.
No, and people that live there can't tell you where anything else is, so it works out.
So for military listeners, if you get stationed at Holloman, like, consider, like, 5-day option and BOP. Let me tell you this. Okay, Holloman Air Force Base is a good base. I like the base. The 49th Wing is a great wing to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly unfortunate, however, that we are... forced to be in Alamogordo, New Mexico. It's not great, right? I mean, it's not. But yesterday, like, it hit a low. So I get home from work yesterday. and I receive a text message from my baby mama saying, check this out. And it was a link to a Facebook post that was posted by the school system here, the Alamogordo Public School Corporation, or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
It basically said, hey, we got a phone call that there might be a school shooter tomorrow. That's basically it. Like, okay, it was like a full paragraph of text,
mm-hmm.
but basically all it said.
Mm-hmm.
No follow-up. Zero.
So nobody showed up to school the next day.
I'd say about, I don't know, probably somewhere between a quarter and half of the student body did not go to school today.
Right.
The follow-up occurred this morning, like almost lunchtime, where they posted a message from the Alamogordo Police Department saying, yeah, so there was like a somebody called in a, we're pretty sure what's a hoax. And yeah, so like that's illegal too. So let us know if you know anything about it. That was the follow-up.
That was some great messaging. No phone call to by parents, the school board no, there.
No instructions, like yeah. No indication on what to do with this information.
Now, I will say that here in Wasilla, we had 3 bomb/shooting threats last year at Colony High School, or the year before last. Year before last.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the third and final one resulted in an arrest.
Yeah, so that's
of a student.
Because there's been bomb threats in the past, and that's mm-hmm. you know, I mean that I mean that's what happened. I mean, hell, I think when you and I were in high school, like somebody did that. Like that's
no,
something.
I don't know about Indiana. I know in California we just had race wars.
Well, yeah. But like, I mean, these things happen, right? But to me, like, it's incredibly irresponsible for the school social media director or whoever the fuck decided to post this on Facebook. Not actually contacting me. I would have not known about this whatsoever.
Right, because you're not on the Facebook.
Right. So somebody sent it to me, and okay, what do we do with this? So Isaac, a high school student, he stayed home today. He left school early yesterday anyway because he wasn't feeling well. So this is kind of like a sick recovery day for him anyway. But even without that, he probably would not have attended school today because what do you do?
So like, can you imagine being that kid, though, that's like, Mom, Dad, there's an active shooter threat. And they're like, get on the bus.
That would have been my dad. My dad would have been like, are you sick? Like,
that's what we're hoping for, Johnny. Get on the bus.
Here, son. Here's your concealed today, carry.
this afternoon, the Alamogordo Daily News. Yes, I'm calling you out. Alamogordo Daily News is the garbagest. I'm making that word.
That's a word.
Can now use it. Subscribe.
Garbagest media outlet in existence. Alamogordo Daily News.
ADN, you have competition.
It beats.
Yeah, we have
it beats the Frontiersman.
We have the Anchorage Daily News here, so we got the same.
I bet it's better. I bet.
I don't know.
So this article contradicted not only the Facebook post that it was quoting. But it was also contradicted itself within the article. Grammar and spelling errors throughout this seven paragraph article.
We have that paper too.
that also still had no conclusion or follow up or anything whatsoever. And also no public statement from the police other than what the school system, put on their Facebook page.
Right. Yep.
I mean, I'm imagining like their Metro reporter is probably somebody that's like, in my mind, he's like 300 pounds and doesn't really wear pants.
Yeah. I don't know.
AKA my idol. I would be remiss if I did not say out loud that we have M Beam in the chat tonight. It's been a long time since he's been able to join us in chat.
Oh, what's
and,
up?
And he is apparently not wearing pants, so he's covering for the rest of us. That's awesome. Well played, M Beam.
Well played.
Amazing. But anyway, so Alamogordo.
Yeah. No, I think you should, when you finally get off your ass and mail me the shit you're supposed to mail me, you should include an Alamogordo Daily newspaper, and I'll include an Anchorage Daily News and send that to you.
I don't think they print them.
Oh, instead, they're not even in print.
Wow.
It's online and it's part of the USA Today network, where it's like, you have 2 free articles. Subscribe now for however many dollars.
No, so we got here in the valley.
Yours is more junk than ours is, because we can actually just go buy a paper copy of ours.
So here in the valley, we got the Frontiersman, which claims, you know, they have 4 former reporters that have won Pulitzer Prizes. So they're like, Pulitzer Prize winning, you know, periodical. No.
Yeah.
So well, bad. Regularly misspells headlines on the front of the paper.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Touché.
All right. The Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. Now, by show of hands, how many on the show right now tonight remember The Dark Crystal, the original show?
Oh, of course. I've actually watched the new one, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember it from when I was...
I watched it like a year ago.
But you don't remember. You haven't watched it recently.
No. Well, I know Netflix, like, you know, is putting a new one out.
Yeah,
I think it dropped like this week or something.
Last week. Age of Resistance. This is a TV show. I was surprised, Kent.
It's like made of Muppets, isn't it?
Did you watch it, Amos?
I slept through some of it, and I watched a lot of it. the babies were watching it, and I was watching them watch it. So.
Hey, no spoiler alerts, by the way.
Muppets.
I'm only like 3 episodes in.
No, there's actually a really great story arc to it. And
So I always loved The Dark Crystal. Like I've watched that movie probably 3 times over the last year.
Right. Like we named my ex girlfriend's sister
Fizzgig
on one of the characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it turns out. The species and not the proper name.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's after the fact, though.
So one of the things
Michelle is a bit of her own species anyway.
One of the things that I loved about one of the things I loved about The Dark Crystal is it's very lore heavy, and I am a super lore nerd. So I have explored the backstory and history of Planet Thra and like all of that, right? And this TV series is nothing but lore, just thick fucking lore, and it's great.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
I couldn't help but think of Oprah
sports thing
on the before the show. We were talking about the little thing that, you know, I've got a warrior and World of Warcraft and all this other stuff, and it goes on and on and on. At the end, it says, "Now you know how I feel when you won't show up about sports."
Right,
so
right.
We're just bringing that further into life on this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm about to start quoting sports.
You sports tard.
I have no clue what you're talking about, I will admit. I'm envisioning like witch Muppets.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. You're not far off.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So the thing that I really liked about the show, though, is it kept the original style of all the art, as in the Muppets themselves, the movements, the voices. It's all in the same tone, and it's beautiful. It's great.
Why?
They didn't like reimagine it and do all kinds of funny new shit or anything else. They kept it very basic and very simple.
The voice talent was amazing. They had like an all-star cast. Mark Hamill voiced one of them, the scientist.
I mean, Mark Hamill like voiced a Joker for like 30 years. That's how he paid his bills. So,
the best Joker ever, Mark Hamill.
He did.
Yes, it's very true. Yeah. It's documented fact. Something else that you've been watching, though,
dude. So, I thought, because months and months of buildup by you.
Yep.
Opening weekend, I'm gonna go see It Chapter 2.
And it opened on a drill weekend. How the fuck am I supposed to make that happen, dude?
You just go.
That's when you have no responsibilities, right?
Nobody missed him.
Take all 14 of your children with you.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. He only has 13. Come on.
Yeah. We ditched one in the backyard, so.
Yeah, so NBeam says 3 hours. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's almost 3 hours long.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
But it's I enjoyed it, man. Like, it's so good. Like, when I heard that it was 3 hours, like on the drive to the movie theater, I was like, oh, fuck. But no, like the movie ended and I was like, holy shit, has it been 3 hours? Hell yes, it's been 3 hours.
Did,
like
did you guys watch the first one? The new yes. version?
Yes. Oh, you talking about...
Oh, yeah. I definitely watched it. Yeah. I was a huge fan. My mom read me the book when I was a kid.
I don't
saw
really
the whole
do.
Series. Horror. The original TV series.
I don't watch yeah. scary movies after 2 o'clock.
P.M.?
Yes.
I don't really do horror.
I thought it was a comedy. It's a clown in it? Blooms?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Well, it was
it's a
bit
kid's movie, really.
Yeah.
Like, it chapter 2, there's a lot of comedic elements in there. Like, yeah. Laugh out loud moments.
Yeah.
But it's very much a horror movie at the
I
same
hope
time.
Bill Hader got his head eaten. That's all I hope.
Hey, no spoiler alert.
No, I'm just saying. Like, he eats heads, right? I mean,
well, he's Bill actually interdimensional
funny,
being.
So, like, by eating him, he'd be funnier.
Header hater?
Well, no, yeah. I like Bill Hader. I just hope he got eaten.
Did you notice? My 17-year-old did go see it on the opening night, and he's a scary movie buff, and he said that it was well done, and he appreciated it. And I was like, well, you saw it at 7 o'clock at night, and... I don't see scary movies after 2 p.m.
That's fair. That's fair.
Well, what's yeah. the scariest movie you've seen?
Huh?
I'm just curious. What's Die the scariest Hard. Movie you've seen?
Fucking Cujo, man. That shit gave me nightmares for weeks.
Yeah, I still... I
remember, My Bloody Valentine.
Hey, I still haven't finished the book or the movie of the original Pet Sematary.
The scariest movie I've ever awesome. Seen
movie
was... well, it's a toss-up. There was Event Horizon. Which yes. terrified me when I was like 12. Scared the living crap out of me. And then there was this other show when I was like 6 called Yum Yums in Playland, where they had to go in the sewer. So scary.
If that scared you, you definitely don't want to watch it. Like, it is not.
So Children of the Corn, when it came out, there's
the book or the movie?
The movie. Nightmares for weeks. And my kids see it now, and they're like, that was hilarious.
That's hilarious. Like, that's so
get
funny.
Get the fuck out of my house.
And Eric, you said you have read the book, right? Or had it read to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have the audiobook, but I don't have 40 hours to commit to it.
Right.
And I do own the book itself, but again, I don't have, 4 months to commit to it.
Well, I read it in like 4 days, but I was in high school and not getting good grades, so that's the other option. We have the book. I bought it for David not too long ago, and he hasn't finished reading it. And I told him if you finished it before we, because it was summertime, he had all the time in the world. If you finished it before the opening day, then I would take him to see the movie opening day. And I think he's still in like chapter 4. So.
Well, ties into...
Steve says he's still upset they're not naming the new Shining
That's
movie.
That's what I'm laughing about right now.
Even shinier.
Even shinier. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, let's see how that affected things this week.
Welcome to Movie Draft Minute, presented by DiamondClub.tv for the week of September 9th, 2019. I'm your host, Big Voice Jay, brought to you by Bacteria. It's the only culture some people have. Let's go to the scoreboard. Team Game Night's in last place with $211.8 million. Team The Vod Squad's in fifth place with $535.9 million. Team Average Drink is in fourth place with $775.7 million. Team Drunk Edge Gaming is in third place with $1,012.9 million. Team Retro Misery's in second place with $1,034.4 million. And with $104.5 million from It Chapter 2, in first place, it's Team Movie Party with $1,363.7 million. That's your final Stream Team Movie Draft Minute. All totals are accurate as of September 11th, 2019.
So there's actually a couple weeks left yep. of the draft, but it's over. Your prediction of last week of it going head-to-head between us and DKG?
Yeah, no. We extended our lead somehow.
Yeah. I think some people are still playing Secret Life of Pets somewhere.
Yeah.
Or Spider-Man, maybe somewhere. I don't know. We got some money, but Lion King is not continuing to make money. So this is it. This is the final standings.
Final standings. It's over.
Which means the winter movie draft is coming up.
Oh,
like
geez.
Probably real soon, man. Like probably like 2 or 3 weeks out. I need to.
So for these guys here, let me explain the movie draft. Have you guys done fantasy football?
Yeah, I used to do it with my brother. Okay. I've done it a few years.
Negative. I got other things.
So basically,
to do
you draft movies that are coming out in the next quarter, and
right, it's an auction system.
Like, and who's going to get the highest gross earnings?
Yes, domestic. Awesome. Yeah, domestic. Yeah. So and that's how we play. And This is what, the second time we've been in second place?
Something like that.
Second, third. I think that new Midway movie coming out, it's gonna be, you know,
no,
box office gold.
Not at all.
So bad.
So yeah, I'm glad we came in second place, because first place fucking smoked us dry, beat us by $300 million or whatever.
What was it that put him over to the top?
Spider-Man. They had Avengers.
Oh. Avengers, yeah,
of course.
Yeah, they had Avengers and Captain Marvel and
Avengers. No, like the highest grossing film ever.
Ever.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And you can't, like, multiple people can't draft a movie.
No. Okay. You bid up to, you have $100 fake.
Oh yeah, whoever won that, like, they could have probably went without any other movie in their line and still won.
Yeah,
not quite, because I mean, even we didn't have Avengers, and we're only about $300 million behind them. So
yeah, this is only $300 million. Is a huge summer though. Like, these numbers are astronomical.
Can you imagine? That's how much people spent.
It's been too hot. I'm going to go in an air-conditioned movie theater all summer long if it's going to be record-breaking heat waves.
You know that's how air conditioning became popular, right? It's because movie theaters would put it in there, in the theater, so that people would come see the movies during the summertime.
Yeah.
And then people were eventually like, hey, why can't we do this shit at home? like, legit, that's how air conditioning caught on.
Not here in Alaska, it didn't.
Air conditioning still hasn't caught on here in Alaska, and that's why I sweat my ass off all summer.
It did for 2 weeks.
Bullshit.
When you couldn't find an air conditioner anywhere in the state.
Yet. Yeah, yeah. For a while there, nobody, like, at the end of the heat wave, nobody could find an air conditioner anywhere.
Or fan.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Good fans.
But congratulations to Team Movie Party.
Yeah.
We'll beat you next time, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't have a good segue, so patreon.com/ritualmisery. If you'd like to help fund this show and make this show possible and happening and everything else, and help us do things like me sending that old mixer to Kent today, really, because it got held up at UPS because the lady didn't put the proper amount on. She was like, oh, we're only going to insure for $100. If that's fine, send it. And so I had to stop by there.
That's what happened to what I'm supposed to be mailing you as well.
Yeah? So it's still sitting at UPS?
Yeah.
No. I told the lady at the UPS store, totally. I was like, he doesn't procrastinate, he just doesn't.
Like, it's totally sitting there.
It's you can still, it's on the bookshelf behind you, Kent. I can see it in the box.
But anyway, so the
and that's a good segue.
Yeah,
the exchange of audio gear is one of the things that helps this show improve. And if you want to be a part of the improvement process of this show, God knows we need it, head over to patreon.com/ritualmisery. Show us that you give a fuck and give us a buck.
I just want to say, I'm building a business on being able to make people sound awesome on their podcasts. And this is my chance each week to not give a shit. I mean, I care a lot. But as far as, like, my professional production value, it's not in this show. This is like our happy, happy fun time. And
Ritual Mystery. It's a podcast.
Yeah.
I did it.
Plus, every week it gives me a chance to bag on you, and you never have any good comebacks because you don't have wit.
Maybe he just cares about your feelings.
No.
Yeah, maybe he's deeply invested in you as a person.
No, Kent knows too many of my secrets to care about my feelings. All right, it's about time for this, isn't it, Kent?
It is.
Can I please have your attention?
In the last 30 minutes, Kent's done something. Now you've got a guess.
He was very excited.
Kent's games.
Play with him.
All right, while you explain the game, I'm going to get some more beer. I need.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. You explain, I'll get beer.
This week's game is called 69. I thought we were going to have three players of the game, so I did 12 questions instead of the traditional 10. Turns out we have four players, which is really convenient that 12 goes in, or 3 and 4 go into 12. So anyway, so we're going to have three questions apiece instead of four questions apiece. All of these questions have to do with 69. Let me explain. So 50 years ago, on July 20th, 50 years ago, man landed on the moon. So human beings visited another world for the first time ever 50 years ago. The year was 1969.
Mm-hmm.
So it got me thinking about 69, and I want to find out how much you guys know about 69.
Oh. Oh.
I'm almost ready. Hold on.
Are you ready for 69?
So are we answering questions about the number 69, the position 69, or the year 69?
Thank you for clarifying.
Huh.
All of the
above. That's a really good question, Amos.
My aunt and uncle got married.
All right. Kent's, so 69 was the year of Woodstock, and the only reason I remember that is because that's also the same year that Kent's mom graduated from our alma mater high school in the first the first class of Benton Central High School in Benton County, Indiana.
All right, so I'm going to go around the room. I'm going to go in order here. So I'm going to start with David. I'm going to go David, Eric, Luke, Amos. All right, I'm going to ask you a question, and then you're going to attempt to answer it.
That's not in order at all.
Is this multiple choice, or do I have to actually know the answer?
You
try and answer it.
You have to know the answer.
See.
All right. So, are there extra points for the best made-up answer?
Sometimes there is.
Okay. Let's shoot.
It better be damn good.
Challenge accepted.
All right.
All right. David, who was the U.S. president in 69?
Ooh, LBJ. Ooh.
You don't want to help him out here.
Johnson.
Was a guess. Johnson the president?
I don't know.
Richard Milhouse Nixon was the president in 69.
Ooh.
All right, Eric, on to you. This anti-Western dictator took control of Libya in 69.
Really?
I'll give you a hint. He died in 2011 as a result of U.S. action.
No, I'm embarrassed that I didn't know my own president, but I fucking know this one. Whatever.
No.
I mean, Ayatollah, I don't know.
Just so you know, that means that you're playing the game right, David.
I'll let David take it for extra credit.
To salvage my previous score, I'm going to go with Muammar Gaddafi.
Wow. Muammar Gaddafi.
Gaddafi. Is it Gaddafi? It is.
Good job, David.
Gaddafi.
Thank you.
Gaddafi.
Gaddafi.
Yeah. Got to hack
Luke,
it.
What is the name of the riot in New York City that kicked off the gay rights movement in 69?
Just say Harvey Milk.
Well, I mean, is it the Milkman riots? Shot Harvey Milk.
He was in San Francisco.
I don't know.
It is Stonewall.
Stonewall.
I've never heard of the gay riots, and I really hope there's video out there somewhere of this. Like, fucking stop it. Like, I don't know how this went.
It's
well documented. There's plenty of documentaries about it. In fact, CNN, the 60s. Documentary has an entire episode about it.
I didn't realize it was in San Francisco. I thought it was in New York.
It was in New York.
No, it is in New York.
I was wondering.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure where you got San Francisco.
I thought you said San Francisco.
No, Harvey Milk was. Yeah.
Look, I've been drinking. No, I didn't do that tonight. I don't drink and. I just drink.
Amos.
Or and.
Amos, your question. The Kama Sutra refers to the 69 position as the Congress of a blank.
Congress of a couple?
The Congress of a crow.
Oh, that makes sense.
I have no idea.
Really?
Really?
I just wanted to sound
all right,
smart.
All right,
you got it. You got shit in your closet, dude.
David. Back to you, David.
Yes.
So first round score roundup. Eric has 1 point. The rest of you suck.
I actually didn't answer that question. David did, but I'll take the point.
All right. So David, your question: who sings the song "Summer of '69"?
Oh. Damn it. Can I steal?
Would that be Bryan Adams?
It would.
Indeed, it is Bryan Adams.
I thought it was Ted Nugent, but what do I know?
No, he shoots flaming arrows.
Oh, okay.
So that song is actually about the 69 position, according to
the writer.
according to Bryan Adams in an interview.
Yeah, like for the whole summer.
Hey, I mean, if you got the like stamina to hold off.
Yeah, the summer where he and his dream woman made love every day is basically what it's about. Huh. All right, Eric, back to you. What is the proper response to a tweet containing the number 69?
Eggplant? I don't know. I'm learning a lot from this test. I'm learning I'm not as smart about 69 as I thought.
Eggplant.
I only know one thing about 69, apparently. Eggplant. Can you guess what that is?
Is your final answer eggplant?
That is correct.
Correct response. Anybody else?
69?
Nice.
70?
Pair
nice.
Of scissors? I don't know.
You were looking for nice.
Nice.
All right, Luke, your next question. What children's television show debuted in 69?
Sesame Street.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, which that was a softball.
It was as a fun fact, it was originally intended for the...
Yes, it was for psychedelics, crowd. But they're like, hey, yes. Kids really like this.
Yeah. Because how trippy would that be with a 6-foot-tall talking bird when you're tripping?
As a follow-on, which children's show came out in 68?
Ooh.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Fuck you. So you don't know
is
about
that a,
the...
Is that a quote from the show?
You don't know about the gays, but you know about the kids. I see where you're at.
He needed a job after he was done shooting people in Nam.
He was not a sniper in Nam. That's an urban myth. I looked it up.
I know it is.
Right. All right, Amos, I know you're going to get this one correct because you spoiled this in the pre-game banter. But here you go. Which music festival took place in Bethel, New York in 69?
Woodstock?
No, that's Snoopy's friend.
Of course. Yep. Just outside of Woodstock, New York, yep. A small little village called Bethel.
Right. The original Lollapalooza. Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we've got a game. Everyone has 1 point.
Oh, 1 point and one question left?
One question each. Yes. Okay. Maybe I can come up with a bonus question. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens here. All right, David, your next question. The FCC banned TV and radio advertisement of which product in 69?
Oh, ooh. Would that be cigarettes?
It is indeed.
Coca-Cola.
Eric. Eric, your next question. Which organization went online with the internet's precursor in 69?
DARPA.
I'm going to give it to you. It's actually ARPA.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
Take defense off of that. And it's advanced research is before they became like official.
It's before the government bought them out.
No, kind of, yeah.
I was just going to say IBM. I mean,
yeah. But yeah, ARPANET came online. Connecting four universities in 1969.
You're such a nerd.
I learned that at tech
Which
school.
Universities were they?
I'm sure it was the Ivy Leagues because they're a bunch of nerds.
I know it was one in California.
Berkeley.
It was probably Cal.
Berkeley, Stanford, Harvard, Caltech. And MIT.
MIT was what,
I think those are the four.
I thought the former vice president
California Institute of Technology wasn't there.
Man. No, it was odd because they're like, yeah, we got four universities, but they're kind of located together. Because Harvard and MIT are only like 100 miles from each other.
I thought that's, not
really,
great
that's a really long way to run a cable really in 1969.
Not by telephone line.
Yeah. Yeah, the infrastructure was there.
Yeah. We just weren't using it right. Now we have free porn.
Yay! And bullshit like the Ritual Misery podcast. All right, Luke, your next question. Which medical procedure enabling human conception debuted in 69?
Artificial insemination?
In vitro fertilization.
Oh, in vitro.
You were close.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. Amos, your final question.
I'm not scared. What's the score?
It's 2-2 to 1-1.
David actually winning.
I'm out. I'm good.
2-2 to 1-1. Got it. Okay.
Yep. All right. So Amos, to tie it to, name Mario Puzo's best-selling novel published in 69.
Who?
I know this. I know this. I don't know the last one. But
Mario Puzo.
Watch your language.
Right. That's what I thought. Famous novel? Was it a famous novel?
Yeah, it was a bestseller.
In 1969.
Yep.
Yeah, people read.
Lots of people read it.
Off tablets,
so much
even.
So that they made that some hired Francis Ford Coppola to
make a couple of movies about it.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, with that clue, I'm just going to have to go with The Godfather. And also,
fine. I should have hit the other button sooner because the a spoiler popped up in the chat. Thank you, literally, Nadia, for that.
Oh, yeah, nice. I like how he told me look in the chat in the chat. He used the chat to tell me to look in the chat. It's like if I call you to leave a message to tell you to pick up your phone.
So I don't think I'm going to do a tiebreaker here because the score was 2-2 to 2-1. So really, there's only one true loser here, and that would
that's
be
right. Yes. It's me.
So good job, guys. That was a fun trip down the.
More importantly, Kent, if we got 2 out of 3, that gives us a 66%. Means three of us got the D.
66 and 66 and 3 is 69.
The three.
Told you, oh, I'm a numbers guy. Oh my God! It all comes around.
Told you, I'm a numbers guy.
All right. So we have the. How to phrase?
Phrasing.
Amongst all the people we've had on the show, there are a few guests that have spoken about something that is truer to our hearts and something that we feel more passionately about than the Remedy Alpine folks. So when we had the opportunity to have them back on, we jumped at that chance and added one because fuck it, that's what we do. So, gentlemen, what is Remedy Alpine up to lately, and what's going to be happening in the future, and where are you at? Because last time you guys were here was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So for people that have forgotten, or for our new listeners, briefly, like in a couple of sentences, just explain what Remedy Alpine is, and then go on with what you've got going on these days.
I think Luke has to, because David did last time.
Oh, okay. So Remedy Alpine, we seek to get veterans into the outdoors, to utilize. Outdoor recreation to create a therapeutic environment where they can just heal. Primarily what we're trying to do is combat isolation in veterans, which studies have shown leads to higher risk of suicidal ideation or suicidal attempts. So we try and combat that by creating a safe environment for them to not only get outside and experience nature, but also build relationships that foster enduring friendships that can then build against that isolation that those of us that are military veterans know we all struggle with. So that's what we do. And we do that through outdoor recreation that could be overnight backpacking trips here in the Alaskan backcountry, or just camping, overnight camping trips, day hikes here in the Anchorage, what I call the Anchorage Bowl, and Front Range of the Chugach or Talkeetna Mountains, Kenai Mountains. That's what we do. And through that, we're able to combat those negative effects in veterans and in ourselves as well.
That's an awesome, awesome mission. There are plenty of veterans that that need that service. And it's awesome that you guys provide that.
Last time you guys were on, you were preparing for a hike. I think you were preparing for one, or did you just come back?
I think we just completed.
We did the purge.
The purge.
That was a negative 10 degree overnight with a small group.
Yeah. That was my first. Trip with you guys.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a little cold that night. It was all good.
Any spooning? No, just air.
The big spoon.
Whatever it takes to keep warm.
The big spoon.
What have you guys done since?
A lot.
So
Labor Day weekend, kind of working backwards a little bit. Labor Day weekend, we took a group of seven, a composite of Air Force, Army, Navy, on a 3-day backpacking trip through Crow Pass. So 25-ish miles from Girdwood into Eagle River over two nights. We did that trek earlier this summer with a group of active duty and reserve Air Force. So we had a group of nine. Luke was on his own journey over the summer with another similar organization.
Yep.
In April, we took a team down to Mount Hood, Oregon. We had five on the mountain, two successfully summited. And a lot of what we've been doing is we kind of hit a tactical pause to do business development, like what we were talking about earlier in the show. Is, you know, once we first got started, we hit that first tactical pause to get the business legitimate, to file our articles of incorporation with the state, to get our business license. We got a lot of attention around that. We were working towards the nonprofit channel, and quite honestly, in the last 90 days, our board has grown. We're bringing on, by the end of the year, we'll have a board of six. We've got a grant writer on the board now. We're adding a couple more positions. Our articles are filed with the application is filed for our 501c3 status with the IRS. Probably about another 4 or 5 months out on that. There's about 9 to 12 month wait in processing, because it's the IRS. And we love you, IRS, if you're out there listening to Ritual Misery. Approve our shit. So, and actually, I think with everything that's gone on and about to go on, the biggest thing that we have coming up is the end of the month. We have a strategic planning session with 2-day planning session. The three principals, the three owners of the company, which are us three, will be day one, where we're sitting out and lining out a 5-year plan, building out the finances, the activities, the strategic calendar. And then the second day, we bring our board of directors in and we present our 5-year plan to our board, and the board approves it. And then we
hopefully.
And then some other things over the summer. We were blessed with a donation from some private donors that have enabled us to get gear. So not only do we provide all of our services for free to veterans, but if they don't have gear, we provide all the equipment for them. We have tents, single day packs, multi day packs, air pads, trek poles, jet boil stoves. We have literally about 15 tough boxes full of toys in my basement. a lot has happened in the last year and a half. We're the center of a fellowship project for a George W. Bush fellow, and just a lot of things happening for us. We're working on our first national contract that we hope to be able to complete and execute. So we should actually be hired to operate 4 trips next year for another veteran foundation. We've been busy, and we all work full time.
If somebody wanted to help out themselves, if they are like, you know what, this sounds awesome, and I would like to give something to this organization, is there a place that they can go do that?
If they want to give time, which I think right now is probably the most valuable thing, we have a volunteer program that we're launching this month where we'll have 3 different categories of volunteers.
Yep.
Some base camp volunteers to help out with an event similar to what I'll talk about in a minute that we're participating in co-sponsoring with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So we'll have some people that go to public events. A little bit higher category is some backcountry guides. The three of us are the only guides right now. So that's a little bit more of a detailed process before we trust the lives of veterans in the hands of somebody else with our logo on it. They have to spend some time with us and kind of prove themselves. And Luke, as our operations officer, is finishing up the work on that training process and what that looks like. And then we're seeking professional volunteers as well, licensed clinical social workers, psychologists, attorneys and accountants, if you want to volunteer. So we have other opportunities, and then hopefully by the end of the month we will have a donate button. If you can't give time but you want to give cash, give till it hurts. We should have a donate button on our website by the end of the month. It seems easy.
Yeah, Eric.
But it's not as easy as one would seem, even for the technologically savvy.
Come on, Eric. I have a donate button on my website.
Well, guess what you'll help me do next weekend. And by the way, that website is remedyalpine.org.
Yep, that's right.
So please make sure to check it out. And something else that Dave didn't really touch on that I was actually excited about that we did last year was we coordinated with the VFW and reached out to a lot of different veteran support organizations and did a veteran outreach event where we invited organizations like the Gold Star Peak, which is a newer organization out here in Alaska where a mountain was named after the Gold Star families. But it was just awesome to see like Team Rubicon and Winter Warrior Project and, you know, just a lot of great organizations. And they basically set up in this horseshoe kind of setup. And veterans came in, went around to all the different tables, got more information, found groups to connect with. So I was actually real excited about that. And that was something David came up with and made it happen. And, you know, I hope we do it every year.
We've been asked by the VFW to do it again. We hosted it. We co-hosted it with the VFW Post 9785 in Eagle River, Alaska. And the concept was kind of simple. There's a lot of very good organizations that have different programs for veterans. We obviously do alpinism and mountain climbing and backcountry backpacking and camping. Alaska Healing Hearts does really good fishing programs.
Fishing, hunting,
And so there's, Team Red, White, and Blue, Wounded Warrior Project. There's a ton of them in the area.
Yep.
And they all fit a niche. And my thought behind developing this was that, you know, instead of having veterans have to figure out where everybody is, that could take time. We're trying to fight isolation. That's the biggest thing that's a producer of anxiety and depression with veterans, is they just don't want to get their ass off the couch and hunt this stuff out. Is if we invited all the organizations into one spot and they could set up a table, they could have the representatives there, they could have some swag and give some shit out. And then we invite the veterans. That's a one-stop shop to figure out what works for them. Mm-hmm. We had the vet center there. We had VA health system. We had the disability law center actually set a veterans law attorney specialist there to be able to talk to veterans if they had problems with their claim with the VA, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, like some of the ones that we've already mentioned, Wounded Warrior, Team Red, White, and Blue, obviously Remedy Alpine, Gold Star Peak. So it became a one-stop shop for veteran services. That was the Saturday before Super Bowl Sunday in February, and we'll be doing it again. I think it is that date is February 1st, if I'm not mistaken. The VFW chipped in. They had officers come in and cook hamburgers and hot dogs, so there was some free chow for folks. And we're doing that again in 2020. So the Saturday prior to Super Bowl Sunday, which should be Saturday, February 1st, if I'm not mistaken, not looking at my phone, we're going to do another Veterans Outreach Fair. And I hope that this is the last year that we actually fit in the basement of the VFW and that we're forced into finding a new venue.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that I didn't.
Yep.
That was something that we all came up with. I was kind of the impetus to it, but it took the whole team to actually execute that. So,
It looks like Saturday, February 1st.
Yep.
And on top of that, we made our rounds to like Chris Kyle Patriot Hospital. That's an inpatient PTSD and substance abuse for military and veterans. So we go and talk about our program to them and say, hey, come out. When you leave this facility, when you're done with your treatment, use us as a way to kind of progress and move forward instead of sliding back. We've been asked to go to the domiciliary where a lot of homeless veterans kind of end up there, kind of fighting their demons. And, you know, they want to use us as a tool to kind of help people progress and get out of, you know, the negative things that they're doing in their life and trying to find something positive.
Yep. So this weekend, we've got a good event coming up. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is a national 501c3 organization whose sole purpose is to raise suicide awareness and work on suicide prevention. obviously it's not our facing initiative, but if you look at our initiatives, if you look at our programs and what we're trying to fight, at the end of the day, we're part of the charge that's fighting that 20 a day to 22 a day veteran suicide epidemic. So it's a commemorative walk or a remembrance walk. So it's not a race. People aren't showing up to run as fast as they can. It's actually kind of a somber event where you're walking in memory of either your own battle, the battle that somebody else that you know fought and was successful or is currently successful, or maybe the battle of a family friend or loved one that they lost their battle. Mm-hmm. So it's at the softball fields across from Martin Luther King and Elmore in Midtown Anchorage. Sign up starts at 9, opening ceremonies at 10, and it ends by about 12:30. So not a big chunk of your day for a good cause to come out. Remedy Alpine will be out there. We'll have our booth set up where we'll have some of our brochures, and the three of us will be out there talking about our programs, and hopefully we'll be connecting with folks, trying to make a difference in the community. That's what it's all about, is just helping the veteran community. Our mantra is veterans serving veterans. And to Luke's point a moment ago, there is a little bit selfish intent. This is our own therapy as well. I know when my demons come out of their dark closet and rear their head with me, I need to go to the mountain to make it right.
Yep.
That's where I find my peace. That's where I find my solitude. The fucking cell phone doesn't ring out there. I can't get bothered if I go far enough off trail. You know, and that self-discovery and that internal dialogue allows me to try to figure things out and work things out in my head. And when I see like the Crow Pass trip that we just did over Labor Day weekend, when I see a bunch of veterans for 26 miles that are embracing the suck with a 30 to 40 pound pack over a mountain through a snow field, the first night we had, was it 38 degrees about?
Yeah.
30 to 50 mile an hour winds. I mean, they literally got the Alaskan experience, and they woke up laughing, right? They're stuck in a tent on the side of a mountain, getting their asses blasted off in rain and cold and gale force winds.
Yep.
And everyone woke up in such a great mood. And then they freaking trucked out 11 more miles, crossed a river that was the coldest. Eric and I have crossed that, and Luke, we've all crossed that river multiple times.
Yeah.
That was the fucking coldest that river has ever been.
It was because the ambient air temperature was cold.
It was 32.5 degrees is my guess.
Yes. 32. It was sludge.
It was not that bad.
It was moving sludge. It was almost freezing.
I went across that river as fast as I possibly could.
You were on water.
He was like Jesus. Yeah, he was like running. So, but in the... the bonding that happened, the stories that they were sharing, it was awesome to see. I mean, and that is the quintessential story about what Remedy Alpine does and why we exist.
But I want to add, the outreach for me has been phenomenal. I'll never forget when we were doing the Black Diamond Block Party.
Yep.
We were out talking to some of the people walking by, and we had a gentleman come up with his wife kind of like next to him, kind of hugging around his waist, and asked us about our program. And so we're like, oh, are you a veteran, sir? And he's like, no, my son served and he was killed in Iraq. And here's I want to donate to your program.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that moment. So the outreach for me is just as important as going out and doing the hikes.
It's a good segue, because we have some pretty cool outreach programs as well. Every Wednesday morning, because we are a quasi former military organization, we serve veterans, so everything we do has the stink of military on it, right? So every Wednesday morning we do a PT session where we walk up Mount Baldy in Eagle River,
5 a.m.
at 5 a.m. In the second and fourth Thursday of every month, except for tonight, because we were invited to be on the show, we meet at a coffee house in Eagle River. That's kind of where our base of operations is right now. Just to, you know, putting your life on the line, getting on the mountain with people that you don't know, that's a trust thing. And let's face it, folks with, you know, post-traumatic stress issues, trust is a big thing for them. So we've enabled an opportunity for folks to get to come out to meet us before they decide if they want to get on a trail with us.
Yep.
Sometimes we'll talk about mountains. Sometime we'll talk about transition. Sometimes we'll talk sports. Sometimes we'll talk movies, whatever. But it gets people off the couch and introduced to our programs. And then we do schedule some like backcountry 101 stuff.
Yep.
So people who don't understand the equipment, that don't know what the toys are all about and why they're important,
yeah,
they can play with it. They can light a jet boil stove and burn themselves. It's fun. Not Michael Jackson. Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been. It's been good. It's been good. So, it's been a busy year,
yeah,
for sure. For sure. And I think as we look at the next 12 to 18 months, it's just gonna snowball. Like honestly, we've been talking as a board about how we are just one or two events away from being completely and utterly overwhelmed, which is a good thing. That's a good problem to have, not a bad one. Right. So that's super exciting. I know, like, and then we're just having these opportunities that are like literally falling in our laps. A couple weeks ago, there was a group of Gold Star family members up with the Travis Mannion Foundation, which is a veteran service organization that works with Gold Star family members, veterans, all sorts. But they do a lot of service projects, and they were up in Alaska doing a 10-day service project, and they wanted to climb Gold Star Peak, and they were having a tough time finding guides to get them up the mountain that had been up there before. And most of what you got to convey to people that come from out of state into Alaska and haven't hiked in the mountains is that there's not a bear hiding behind every bush, because that's the that's the like default, is that there's a bear behind every bush and it's going to eat me.
Yeah, it's only every other bush.
Yeah,
right. So I was able to find another couple of guides from the community, another veteran, to help us guide up a group of Gold Star family members up the mountain. And it's just, it's one of those experiences where you take people that are going into the outdoors and experience something very therapeutic that's beyond themselves. Gold Star Peak is a 3,750-foot climb from the trailhead, and it's done in less than a mile and a half. And that is crazy steep elevation over a very short period of time. And you got these 65, 70-year-old parents of fallen soldiers and airmen, sailors, and Marines that are climbing this mountain, and they are gutting it out because it's something bigger than themselves. And that is super selfish of me, but those are some of the best experiences that I have in my life, because you're seeing people literally heal in front of you through the outdoors, and that's super cool.
And a real quick shout out to the founder and president of Gold Star Peak Foundation, Kirk Alkire. Who worked through all the different organizations and Native corporations in the state of Alaska to get past Alaska and then the federal government to get the mountain named Gold Star Peak. There's an incredible story about the monument that's built on top of the mountain. There's another monument that they're raising money for to get put up there. And I've been on top of quite a few mountains in my climbing career, and you know, I have quite a few gold stars that I carry around in my heart with me. As a former combat medic, unfortunately, I saw gold stars at the moment that they became gold stars. And Luke was with me the first and second time I tried to climb the mountain. The first time we got avalanched off in three avalanches in one day.
Yeah, she was angry that
day. The mountain did not want to be climbed that day. But we finally, the three of us actually made it up.
This spring,
in March, and there's something magical about this mountain. If you come to Alaska, if you're not in Alaska, and you get a chance or you want the chance, we'll be happy to take you up the mountain.
Absolutely.
If you have the weight or the pressure of a comrade that didn't make it home from a deployment, and you want some closure, This mountain is magical, and what Kirk Alkire has done and his group has done to help create this place of healing It's incredible. And we're happy to work with, and from time to time we climb with the Gold Star team. They're taking folks up, and it's an honor to work with them. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Kirk and his group.
Absolutely.
Because that is that's something that we regularly hike and climb and take folks up, and it's an important part of our program. So,
and where is Gold Star Peak?
So it is out by Aklutna Lake. If you get off the Glen Highway in the Anchorage Bowl area and head towards Aklutna Lake, there's a very small parking pull-off on the right side of the road at mile marker 4.5. By small, I mean it'll fit about four cars. Yeah. So ride with your buddy. And then the trailhead... Yeah. Sorry, Luke.
Trailhead, Amos, you look at it every day.
Yeah.
You got Pioneer Peak, mm-hmm. and then you got the Twin Peaks, mm-hmm. that flat mountain next to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mount POWMIA, and Gold Star Peak is the westernmost summit point of that mountain.
Gotcha.
And then
the trailhead's at mile marker 5 along the Aklutna Lake Road.
And the mountain looks flat from the angle that we look at it from here in the valley, mm-hmm. but when you're on the other side going up it, it's anything but.
What's the elevation? Isn't it about like 35 degree incline pretty much the whole time?
35 for the first two legs of the climb, and then it's a 45 degree angle above. Yeah. It's legit the last 800 feet.
See, we can go do that if you ever make your ass up here to Alaska.
Oh yeah, it's a quick, easy day climb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking loser. Oh, that sounds,
if I ever make it north of the wall, that sounds awesome. I would definitely be interested.
All right. Yeah. Now if people want to get a hold of you guys individually, where can they look to? You guys on the Facebooks, you on the Twitters, you just go to the Contact Us page on remedyalpine.org or what?
Yeah, the Contact Us page through remedyalpine.org goes to a, I guess, universal... organization box. And if they're trying to get in contact with any of us individually, we're all profiled through the through remedyalpine.org. And you can stalk us on Facebook.
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page. We do have Instagram. No. We do have Twitter. We're not on Twitter as much.
No.
We're
not so good with the words.
Yeah. The general delivery mailbox is just remedyalpine@gmail.com right now. We are working to get some actually at remedyalpine.org email addresses set up.
I believe we have one.
If only you had a computer guy that could do all that.
Who isn't going through an inspection? Who doesn't volunteer at Wind Warrior Project? Hearts.
Now all the excuses.
EOD Warrior Foundation.
Yeah,
a 2-year old.
So we've Alaska's been burning this year, like Dave spent couple days last week.
Yeah, I spent a couple of days last week
time with Team Rubicon.
With Team Rubicon doing some site clearance so the heavy equipment teams can get into grade. My wife. I don't think we highlight our wives enough in our lives.
Never.
My wife was out there for 4 days with Team Rubicon. Her little ass was ripping a chainsaw, dropping trees left and right, meeting with homeowners. She told me a story about this Vietnam vet who lost everything, and he's still on his property living in a tent. Swears he's going to have a cabin rebuilt before winter. And I'm like, dude, that clock is ticking. Great people, really emotional impact to see the devastation with the fires that happened in Alaska this year. Most of us, like Eric mentioned, the plethora of organizations that he cross-pollinates with. Luke and I have our projects that we work with as well, and other veteran organizations. And I think that's kind of at the heart of – that's not – exclusive to a Remedy Alpine thing. If you look at the veterans organizations in Alaska, we're all part of two or three different organizations, and we all cross-pollinate to try to make the veteran community as tight as we can. It's the only way we get stuff done up here. So,
yeah, I don't know if I really stressed over the summer, but I might be immune to the smell of campfire because it's been awful. There were days when the sun was still up, but it would look like it was like dark nighttime because of all the smoke coming down from the fires and things like that. My neighbor Brian is a firefighter. He spent a week and a half out there without even coming home, and it's only like 20 miles away. Like they were humping it this summer. The firefighters and other people that help with those things, the forestry service, all that. They really worked their ass off this summer. And it's if I ever smell a campfire again, it'll be an amazing thing because my nose is just completely done to it. You know.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Kent, what else we got going on that that we need to tell people about? I know we have one big event coming up soon that we need to tell people about.
Yeah. I mean, it's only September,
right.
But right around the corner is going to be New Year's Eve, man.
Yes.
And, we've got the big fundraiser of the year, New Year's Eve Streamathon, coming up. So we're going to be asking for streamers very soon. Yep. I actually cracked open the files to prepare for this year's planning,
which might be a record.
Yeah, I think it. Well, besides like the first year, I oh my God, I don't even know what I'm doing here.
So those of you that don't know, we Kent and I host the, well, we used to call it the Ritual Misery Streamathon. Now it's the Diamond Club Streamathon, or the Stream Team Streamathon, I guess it would be now. 27 hours of live streaming.
Yep.
In order to make sure that, one, no one needs to spend New Year's Eve alone. There's a lot of people out there that
that's right.
that have awesome. That don't have families and don't have things going on. And New Year's is like the one holiday where you can break away from our own families for a couple hours. We share movies, we play games, we review beers, we do all kinds of things, but for 27 hours straight there will be a live presence in the chat room so that no one on the planet, no matter what time zone you're in, you don't have to spend New Year's Eve by yourself.
Yep.
At the same time, we'll be raising money, as we always do. Kent, who do we raise money for every year? Well, two of the 3 years we've done it, and we'll be doing it again this year.
So the recurring donation center that we use is extralife.org.
And what do they help with?
Yeah, they help with the Children's Miracle Network hospitals. Nice. So there's lots of kids out there that get illnesses and things that their families are not fortunate enough to be able to financially support. And extralife.org helps make sure that they have money to pay for those things.
Yep.
It's a wonderful, wonderful organization. And if you've been around fundraising with anybody streaming on the internet, I'm sure you are familiar with the organization already, but they are right. awesome. We intend to use them again this year. But yeah, we're going to be looking for people to stream. I'm going to be in our Discord, bit.ly/RMP Discord, if you want to get in on this. But I'm going to be in the Discord asking for volunteers for different positions, advertising, and
we just played the 69 game.
Yeah. But anyway, so
I wasn't tracking.
We'll need streamers, managers, graphics designers, anybody that wants to make some transitions. And if you can't stream that day but you want to help out, I guarantee there are ways that we have that you can help out for that.
Absolutely. So get in bit.ly/RMP Discord yep. if you're interested in any of that.
And we have raised over $5,000 thus far.
Yep.
In the last 3 years.
Yep. And I want to drastically increase that number.
Yeah. So not being funny, but what technology requirements are there to be a streamer for you to participate?
Honestly,
need a computer and a webcam.
Or you need to know someone who knows how to stream to Twitch.
Yeah, or you don't even need a computer. You could stream from your smartphone.
Yep.
Essentially, the barrier to entry for streaming is almost nothing now.
Okay. If you have half an hour, an hour, and you want to be part of the Streamathon and help raise money for Children's Miracle Networks, we will find a way to get you on. 1 year we had someone Skype into me or Skype into you, Kent, and then we broadcast them from there.
We should come.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we could. Yeah,
we can make it happen.
So on site right now, what we're talking about is if Remedy Alpine could stream in from the top of Gold Star Peak.
Heck yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
With no avalanche danger.
If you have an internet signal.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great signal out there.
Okay. Then yes. Like, let's continue to discuss, because I want to make that happen.
All right, Kent.
We'll be bundled up. It'll be cold, but we can do it.
Where can people find you, Kent?
Yeah, check me out on Twitter at @rm_delnoche. If you prefer a separate social media outlet, Del Noche or Del Noche 77 is probably where I'm at. So search for me there. What about you, Amos?
You can find me on Twitter at Ethan Kane, E-T-H-A-N-C-A-I-N-E. And if you prefer a different media outlet, a different social media outlet, then fuck off and go to Twitter. Because that's the only place I'm at, and that's the only place I'm answering DMs. You can find the show on Twitter, because it's the only social media that matters to me, at Ritual Misery, R-I-T-U-A-L-M-I-S-E-R-Y. And, of course, you can join the conversation in our Discord, because that's the only one that matters to Kent, bit.ly/RMP Discord.
Yeah, you can find all these links and more over our website at ritualmisery.com. We are live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific on diamondclub.tv and twitch.tv/ritualmisery.
Thank you so much to Kevin McLeod for allowing us to use your music. Cruise on by there, incompetech.com, to get your own free music. And thank you for listening. For Kent, for me, for you, for Remedy Alpine, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I can hear from your headphones, so.
Yeah. Hello.